serving communion correctly. I want us to think about that this morning, observing communion correctly. You'll see 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 32. You're very familiar with these verses as we partake of the Lord's Supper or communion or Eucharist, however, many different names, but all the same thing. I want us to turn in our scripture, if we would, before we observe, before we partake, and think about observing communion correctly and what it looks like. I want you to know that Paul, writing to the church at Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was trying to direct them in the proper way. The church at Corinth was a great church, full of talent, full of gifts, full of spiritual gifts. People, I mean, it was growing, but there was a lot of competition. Can you believe that? Competition in church. They lived on the isthmus, which is the little isle that comes down on each side of it separates upper northern Greek from the lower Peloponnese there, and so it's a little isthmus. They had the Isthmian games, so it's constantly athletics were going on, and so you choose your team, right? We know all about that. And they were having a hard time, this birth in a new church. They were having a hard time separating the secular world from the Christian world. And so they had competition. The people that had these great gifts would be competing. They thought they were so much better than the people that didn't have it. And so Paul had his hands full. He was their father in the faith, and so he was trying his best to help them understand what church really looks like and what it's supposed to look like. And so we have this wonderful, the two books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. But we get to this place of where he's showing us what it is, the correct way of doing communion. And it works today, even today, 2015. And so I want us to be thinking about that. Before we got to 23, just a little context of laying it out, 11, 17 through 22 was showing how not to do it correctly, okay? They were having a big party. They were having a feast. People were getting drunk. I mean, this is what they thought the Lord's Supper were. I want you to understand, they knew they were supposed to observe it. They knew that it was something the Lord had told them to do. They just didn't know the correct way, or they didn't care about the correct way. And so Paul's trying to jerk them up by the scruff of the neck, if you please, and showing them what it is and how it's supposed to look. And I want us to think about that this morning before we partake of the Lord's Supper, observing it correctly. And first, let's look at the institution here at verses 23 through 26. The Word of God says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So the 11 through 23, or 17 through 22, showing us how not to do it. So Paul's saying, okay, I've told you don't do this, now let me show you how it looks and what it's supposed to be and the institution and why we do it and what we do. And so I want us to think about what should happen. And first, the who of the institution. Who instituted it? Paul said in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which was also delivered to you." Paul had, under the instruction of Jesus himself, had taught him this is what the supper, this is what the Lord, the institution of communion, is supposed to look like. The who is Christ. He's the one that instituted. It's one of our observances that we have that he's passed on that we're supposed to gather and do. The church, they understood again. They understood they were supposed to be doing it. They just weren't doing it correctly. I wonder if that's us today, that we understand. You might have went through, who knows how many, if you've been in church all your life, how many Lord's Supper you've partaken of. But I want you to know it's not anything to take flippantly. It's not something to take as tradition. It's never, don't you come in here thinking, okay, we're just having the Lord's Supper. Never come to it that way. And so I want us to think about this as we get into the application of it a little later. Paul had received from the Lord, the who of the institution is Jesus. He's the one that told us. Well, the when, very interesting, I'm studying this. I want you to look what it says. When did Jesus do it? On the same night in which he was betrayed, verse 23 says. You see the irony and think about that as you're studying, as you're looking at the scripture. Did anything ever jump out at you? Now, the same night we know that it was the Passover meal, which was a huge time. The Passover meal was going on, so he didn't say while we were doing the Passover. He didn't say while we were all gathered in the room together. What did he say on the night that he was betrayed? We all know the story. We all know that in Matthew 26:12, that what Judas, one of Jesus' friends, betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Sold the Lord Jesus for a bag of coins. Why would he, the win of this institution, why would he say on the same night he was betrayed? I want you to listen closely. It's because when we partake of this supper, when we partake of communion, when we live contrary to the Word of God, when we come and we worship on Sunday morning and we go out and we live sinful lifestyles, we betray the Lord. We're betrayal. The idea and the propensity to betray the Lord's in all of us. And I don't think he just put it there, the win of it, when he was betrayed. We need to think about that and remind ourselves the seeds of betrayal is in all of our hearts. We don't leave here and live contrary to God's Word and not betray Him. That's how serious it is. It's time in 2015 that the Church of Christ, the true believers in Christ, start living what God's Word says. You want to see a change in everything? It comes through living out God's principles and laws in His Word every day. You'll hear me say over again, 24/7, 365. 24/7, 365, that's where we live. That's where we worship. That's when we don't betray Him, when we live what He tells us to do, and we're guided by His Word. The how. Who, when, and how. When he had given thanks. In thankfulness is what the Scripture says. When he had given thanks, he instituted the Lord's Supper with thankfulness. Please let that sink in for a moment. This was his last night. Before the sun went down the next night, he would be dead on a cross, buried in a tomb. We know he'd resurrect, but he would be dead and buried and go through the crucifixion. And yet, he took this supper and he gave thanks. He was thankful. How many of us in the same situation, if we knew what was coming, how many of us could concentrate or give thanks? How many of us face hardships and you're going through rough times right now that you can give thanks unto the Lord? And yet the Scripture tells us to do that. When he gave thanks, he's breaking the bread. Think about it. He's breaking his bread knowing it's going to be his body. He's giving the cup knowing it's going to be his blood. And yet he gave thanks. Why? He was bringing heaven to earth, a nation where we were separated from God no longer would be. And that was thankfulness. That was his whole reason for coming. When he gave thanks. And that's the how. And then the what. What does it involve? Let's look at that. Look at the scripture where it says he took bread. He took cup. He took a cup. These are emblems of the sacrifice that he would give in just a few short hours. The bread that we take this morning, even though the small wafer, the small cup of juice that we take, it represents the emblem of his sacrifice for each and every one of us here in this room. He said, this is how you do it. You don't bake it. It's not a big party. It's not a time of coming together and nobody caring about anything else. In fact, it's a drawing together of the community of Christ. And it's focusing on his sacrifice for each and every one of us. It's pointing to him that we'll see in just a few minutes. These emblems that we're going to partake represent what Christ did for you, my friend. If you're sitting here in this room and you've never received Christ as your Savior, don't take of this cup. Don't take of this bread. Do not. And we'll see that more in the application. Why? It's for believers. It's for people that are Christ, who he died for, that have accepted that sacrifice. Who did he die? He died for everybody, but not everybody receives. Some people reject. But you got an opportunity before we partake of it. If you want to become his child, this would be a good morning for it. To receive his sacrifice. But it's going to take examination and it's going to be truthfulness before the Lord. his body portrayed, the bread portrayed his body, the emblem. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:4. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. When we hear that, the stripes that we had is sin, and it marred us deep. And Christ's healing power came through his sacrifice on the cross. He said he bore on himself our sins in his body. Whose sins? Your sins. It has to become individual too. A time of not just thinking we're going to do it corporately, but it has to come a time where you're realizing what Christ has done for you individually. And the cup, oh my goodness, the cup. The old cup spoke of the deliverance of Egypt. Remember, that's what the Passover meal was, when they put the blood of the lamb over the door, and that night, the last plague, when the death angel came through Egypt and he killed all the firstborn. When he saw the Passover blood, when he saw the blood over the lintel of the door, he knew that it was a child of God that believed in him, and he passed over and death didn't come. And now Jesus is taking that cup that represented that deliverance from Egypt, and he's saying, this is my blood. It's going to be a new covenant today. It's no longer you have to worry about the death angel getting you out of Egypt. It's no longer you have to worry about the death angel of each and every one of us here that will die one day. Why? Because Christ, through his blood in that new cup, made a way. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear sin. We don't have to fear death. Why? Because of what he did. And that was the cup. That was the old cup was passing away and the new was coming. It was the new covenant. Cleanse us from the guilt of sin. Wow. Delivered from sin. Does that mean that we're perfect people? We'll talk about that. There's no perfect people at the communion table, by the way. Only forgiven. Praise God. Why? Lastly, the why. And then we can look at 24, 25, and 26. For recollection. For recollection, what? That we may understand, that we may remember what we're just talking about. That Christ came to this earth, God's Son, the perfect man. That he walked it in a sinless manner. That they killed him on a cross called Calvary. He gave his life for you and me. That he was buried, but on the third day he arose. Do this in remembrance. Why? We don't serve a dead Savior, but an alive Savior that tells us one day we'll all be with him. Do it for recollection. Do it in remembrance. No matter what you're facing, my friend, you can get by with that. Why? Because we can remember what Jesus has done today, and we can look forward to another day. Oh, there's coming an uncloudy day, my friend. For recollection, but not only that, look at verse 26. For proclamation, what does it say? Proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes. We do this until he comes back again. And we'll, you know what? One of these days we'll eat it with him in heaven. There's a future. There's a future reference here also. We'll eat it with him one day together in heaven. Those of us that believe in Christ and have him as our Savior. Not his death, his resurrection. Yes, he died, but he resurrected. And the resurrection is what separates us from all other beliefs. It's not a coexist, that we just coexist. Yes, we coexist, but we bring the truth. We coexist to exist to let them know there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way. Jesus said that. Peter said there's no other name given under men, found under heaven, that by which we must be saved. No other name. No other way. So we do it for proclamation. We go out and we let people know. There's a world out here that's dying without Christ, dying without God, hopeless, groping around in the darkness, and you can't even shine the light to show them the way. We've got to shine the light. Proclaim what Christ has done. It's not something we should ever feel superior. In fact, we should feel humbled. Why did Christ save us? Why did he apply grace to our life when there's billions upon billions of people that don't know Christ? And yet we go through the motions of coming to church. We go through the motions of just proclaiming his name. And yet we don't have this blessed hope of understanding that we have grace. We shouldn't be prideful in any way or bust out our chest in any way. Why? Because it should humble us right down to the dirt and say, why me, Lord? What have I ever done? Old Christofferson, Chris Christofferson song. deserve even one of your blessings. For recollection, for proclamation, but listen, don't forget, for anticipation, verse 26. Until what? Until He comes. Until He comes. Again, we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a resurrected Savior. And we live in this time of grace that is running out, ticking, ticking, ticking. The time of grace is ticking. And when that time, when the last tick comes in, it's over. And so we live in anticipation of what? That this could be the last Lord's Supper we ever take here on earth. This could be it. The trumpet could blow and time be finished as we know it. And Christ return, and we go on to be with Him forever. That's anticipation. Do we anticipate that moment? Because He says until He comes. He's coming again, folks. Oh, you might scratch your head and say, oh, I've heard that all my life. Or, yeah, we've heard that and heard that. Guess what? God's Word said it. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. It's the truth. God said it, I believe it. No, they don't have anything to do whether you believe it or not. God said it, it's done. He's coming again. The anticipation. So it's for recollection, it's for proclamation, it's for anticipating the Lord's return soon to come. Well, the applications of the instructions, look at verses 27 through 32. This is where it gets real now. This is where the Lord's Supper starts, I hope it starts working and grinding. It's already been on me already because I knew it was coming. I take it serious, and so I'm asking Him. And you know what? I'm far from perfect. I have impure motives. I have all these garbage. I have this stuff, and I gossip about somebody or say something that's not God-honoring. I want Him to work on that. I don't want to take the Lord's Supper with garbage in my life. It's so important. So He's already been grinding on me, and I'm saying, Lord, please, just God, the only way that I'm worthy to partake of Your supper is for You to cleanse me, for You to forgive me, even of sins I don't even realize. I'm too ignorant to even understand. So you look at verse 27, and what does it say? Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty, guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus. Any unworthy participation. Listen, any unworthy participation. One more time. Any unworthy participation is sin. Sin. Don't sin today. If you've got stuff in your life, do not partake of this supper. Why? We're going to see in just a minute. To share in an insensitive manner or lack of understanding is dishonoring to the Savior. That's how important that it is. And Paul's trying to get this church in line, in order. Why? Because we need to do an examination. Why do we do that? Or what comes from eating of it unworthy? Look at verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup. 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Verse 30. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. See, that group, that church that was taking of the Lord's Supper in verses 17 through 22 and doing it unworthily, even in their own ignorance, he said, these things, I actually believe within that church, these things were going on, and they were scratching their head trying to figure out. They're sick. They're dying. Why? Because they were taking the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. And Paul's saying it's so important. So he says, examine. What do we examine? Are we living in sin? Are they seeing known sin in your life? That's the examination. Are you harboring resentment? Are they somebody you resent? Paul's saying, man, we've got to get rid of that. We can't take of the Lord's Supper unworthily. Are we just traditionally partaking of it? Just traditionally partake of it. Because this is what you do. Wrong. Don't partake of it if you're just doing it in tradition. You're not taking the time to examine yourself. Your attitudes, your motives, your relationship to God, and your relationship to each other. That's how important that it is when we come to the Lord's table. And Paul said we need to examine. Oh, as I said, the table's not for perfect people, only forgiven ones. Nobody's perfect at this table, just for the record. Just forgiven. Taking out the time to ask God to forgive us. And not just forgive Him so we can partake of it and go ahead and live in the same old way, okay? He don't work that way either. I know we all try to figure out little ways of getting out of things. I'll ask Him to forgive me, but I won't change. Paul says, sickness, death, all these things come when we do that. Why would the Lord now? It's not condemnation unto damnation. I'm not saying that we're not damned to hell when we do that, because we know that Romans 8:1 tells us that there's no condemnation to them that love the Lord Jesus. You don't fall from grace, but there's chastisement, okay? If you're a child of the King, you get chastised for a reason, as Donnie was talking about this morning in our Sunday school class. He puts us in the crucible to cook off the impurities. Have you ever been to the crucible? Have you ever been to the woodshed, the spiritual woodshed? He does that because He loves you, just as a parent does to their child. They don't let them get by with everything. Why? Because they love them. And they know what it makes as men and women when children that have not been disciplined, what does it look like? We're living in a world full of it. The results. Chastisement from the Lord whenever we don't take of it worthily. Verses 31 and 32 says, but when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. See, we don't. What makes us different? The Holy Spirit of God dwells within us when we become believers. We're separated. We live in the world, but we're separated from the world. The world without Christ will stand condemned one day. There's a judgment day coming, as we talked about Malachi today. The Lord will judge all sin. And people that think they're getting by with it, guess what? Nobody's getting by with it. The day, there's a payday coming. So we have to remember these things. God intervenes to prevent being condemned by the Lord. He asks them not to further sin, but to be right. Paul, be right with the Lord. God chastens the sin. He puts us back on the path of righteousness. That's why He chastens us. That's why He shows us the sin. So when we partake, I want us to think of just take out a moment of the examination. Close your eyes before the Lord, please, right now. I want you not to stirring around, not thinking about anything. That's going to be difficult because I'm sure Satan's been bringing all kinds of mess to your mind while you're sitting here. But I want you to examine your heart. Make sure there's no sin in your life. Ask the Lord to forgive you if you've got known sin, if there's bad motives, if you're living in sin, if you're harboring resentment. Ask God to remove that and forgive you and then live in that freedom. Moment of silence for you to do between you and the Lord. Before you open your eyes, I want you to listen to this. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you of any sins. If you don't know Christ, pray to receive Him right now into your heart. Quit living without Christ. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Admit to Him that you need a Savior, and then turn. Receive Him into your heart. If you do that, please let me know after this service. Or when we have our time at the end of the service to have an altar call, you can come forward. You need to make it known. Whatever God's saying in your heart, do in obedience. And then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask my deacons to come forward. I'm going to end in prayer as we get ready to partake. Father, thank You so very much. Thank You for this day, Your Word. God, it's difficult sometimes when we look at verses like this and we see that, God, we come face to face with our own inadequacies. Lord, that we come face to face with our own imperfections. And so I pray in Jesus' name that you'll search our heart. Forgive us of anything that might keep us from partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily. And thank you, Lord, we do this. We do this for recollection. We do this for proclamation. And we do this in anticipation of your coming again. And so we pray that you'll bless our time. In Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. already said, the scripture said, and when he had given thanks, he broke and said, take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup. Be extra. this is the cup, or this is the cup in the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Just wonder if somebody has a testimony of the Lord before we finish. Do you have a testimony? God's got something on your heart you need to share. Testimony of praise unto the Lord. Not going to leave that window open very long. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Thank you, Dad. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I saw a couple of you that taken communion for the first time about got choked up. Means a lot. See people come to know Christ and be a part of that. Anybody else before we close in prayer? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. What a wonderful, wonderful day. The thought of what Jesus has done for us. Thank you for the Lord's Supper. We're getting a little taste of heaven when we do that. One of these days, Lord, we'll get to thank you for giving that life for us, for breaking that bread, the body and the blood and the covenant that you shed for us. Thank you so much. Thank you for my wonderful church family. And as Aaron says, we go through life and we can go through hardships, but we have one another and we have you. And Lord, that's a blessedness that the world don't understand. And so I thank you for that. So I pray that God, as we go out and we go out into the highways and byways, our work, school, everything that we do, let us carry Christ with us. Lord, the world desperately needs that light shining. So I want to pray right now. Somebody prayed to receive you today. I pray that God, they'll come forward. At the end of this service, just let me know, Lord. We're not going to have an invitation right now. I don't feel like that's what you want. But if somebody prayed to receive Christ, don't let them leave without letting me know today. And Lord, I praise you. I thank you for the souls and the touch of the Master's hands. I saw people that had come to know the Lord since our last communion table. What a blessing that is. Lord, that's a praise unto you, and to get to be a part of that. And so I pray you'll be with everybody as they go out. God, that we have an evening, we won't be back together, but let them enjoy their evening with their families and time together. And God, then protect us until we come back at the next appointed hour on Wednesday evening and we join together again. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you did for us. In Christ's name we ask this.